I got the Titanic analogy figured out for you. I thought about this and thought about this, and I got it figured out. If they had not seen the iceberg, they would have survived. I'm telling you true. I studied this. If they had not seen the iceberg, they would have survived. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. 1912, the Titanic is steaming to America from England, Southampton. And at approximately 11:40 p.m., two gentlemen, Frederick Fleet and Reginald Lee, were in the crow's nest of the Titanic, and they're looking out. Now, here's the deal with that night. It was a totally calm sea, and it was remarkably calm. In fact, all the eyewitnesses say that they had never seen a calmer sea on the North Atlantic, and that was a problem, because if the sea had been moving, then they would have seen the guys in the crow's nest, this Frederick and Reginald. They would have seen water breaking at the base of the iceberg. However, they didn't see it till the last second, and that was a problem. Now, again, I told you this yesterday, if they had not have seen it, then the Titanic would have struck the iceberg head on. It would have sustained considerable damage to the bow of the ship. However, they did see it at the last minute, and they ordered hard starboard. So they turned drastically to the right, and because of that, they caught the iceberg a glancing blow, and it ripped, shredded. As the ship passed, it shredded the starboard side of the ship, and those supposedly watertight compartments all filled up, and it was only a matter of time then when the Titanic sank. And I told you there's a spiritual analogy here, because I told you we are on the Titanic, metaphorically speaking. We are on this earth, and this earth is going down. And a lot of proud people are saying, it can't happen to us. Well, that's what they said about the Titanic. This ship is so strong, so great, that not even God could sink it. Well, all it took was an iceberg. And I told you I was going to come up with an analogy of the fact that seeing the iceberg was the problem. Well, here's the analogy. There is no analogy. You have to make corrective measures in this life. If you see an iceberg coming, you have to steer out of the way. Now, it so happened that because Captain Smith listened to the guys in the crow's nest, these two characters, Frederick and Reginald, he turned hard starboard and it shredded it. But you have to correct in this life. Now, it was destined. It was God's destiny. It was his predetermined plan that the Titanic sink. Is that to say that we shouldn't correct course? Is that to say that we should just ignore icebergs in our own life? No. In fact, I might make the case that too bad they didn't see it sooner. But again, the way the sea was, it wasn't breaking. They couldn't see it. They saw it at the last minute. It'd be great if we could see these obstacles in our life early, but sometimes we can't. And so instead of going headlong into it, we veer off and it just rips us to shreds. It's all God's sovereign design for our life. I don't like it. You don't like it. I don't like that the Titanic sank on April 14th, 1912. The people that died don't like it, and they didn't die from drowning. They died from freezing because the water was 32 degrees. You're not going to last long in that noise. And so life just sucks sometimes, but we do the best we can. Those guys in the crow's nest, they did the best they could. How were they supposed to know that if they had just rammed the thing head on, everyone would have lived? Nobody knew that. You do what you can, and you cannot second guess yourself. You cannot second guess yourself. That's the lesson I take from Frederick Fleet and Reginald Lee spotting the iceberg at the last minute. Steer away. Always steer away. Now, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm going to go back there, and we're going to get into some phrases that are very curious. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:29. Now, this I am averring, brethren, that the era is limited. And I told you how that's good news. This era is being wrapped up. It's coming to a close. And furthermore, those having wives maybe is not having them. I'm going to come back to that, but let me start where I left off yesterday. Using this world as not using it up. That's how we're supposed to be. Yes, you're supposed to use the world. You're supposed to go to the library and take out free books. You're supposed to go to McDonald's and buy a hamburger once in a while. I don't recommend it, but if you have to, you have to. you're supposed to use the world. Go to the ocean and take a swim. Go to the mountains, have yourself a nice little climb. Use the world. But Paul says don't use it up. In other words, don't major in it. Don't think that you have to do everything in this world. Don't be friends with this world. Just use it, but tread very lightly. I think that's the exact phrase I used yesterday. Using the world, but not using it up. Why? Verse 31, for the fashion of this world is passing by. Everything you think is cool, everything that the world thinks is cool, is passing by. It's passing away, and this new thing is coming, and you are plugged into it. You are plugged into the next eon. We're anticipating, by faith, an eon where wrongs are going to be righted, and people are going to get what's coming to them, and finally, good is going to be recognized as good, and evil is going to be recognized as evil. That's the exact opposite, isn't it, of what's happening today. So we're looking forward to that, and we're already reaching for the lifeboats on the Titanic. We're on the Titanic. If you have a first-class berth on the Titanic, you're doomed. So forget about it. Get on the lifeboat. I know it's not as luxurious as your first-class stateroom, but it's how you're going to survive. You've got to be in love with Paul. You have to be in love with his message. And try to wean yourself away from this love affair that you're having with the current eon. Hey, we all have it. I have my little love affair with this eon. Certain things I like about this world. Most things I hate it. Good. We're supposed to hate the world. That sounds like radical language. Read 1 John. Talks about hating the world in comparison to your love for Christ. Now, we were in verse 31. Let's back up and let's take this back to verse 30 and work our way back to verse 29. I think that's a creative way of doing this, and I'm pretty pleased with myself for thinking of this. Verse 30. Those buying as not retaining. Paul's not saying here that you're not supposed to buy stuff. You're just not supposed to retain it. See, we're not forwarding some kind of radical agenda here. Paul's not, anyway, where you're supposed to withdraw from the world. Go ahead and buy stuff. You need stuff. Buy your bacon, buy your eggs, buy your milk. Just don't drink it. You're not supposed to drink cow's milk. Cow's milk is for baby cows, otherwise known as calves. It's not for human consumption. My point is, go ahead and buy stuff that you need, but be as though not retaining it. In other words, you hold it very loosely. Don't be in love with it. Go ahead and buy it, but hold on loosely. That's a great song from, I think it was the 70s. Was that 38 Special? Hold on loosely to what you've got. That's what I encourage you to do. Go ahead and buy it, but hold loosely to it. And that's a great phrase, buying as not retaining. Why would you do that? Because this era is passing by. The fashion of this world is passing by, and the era is being wrapped up. So buy it, but pretend like you don't have it. In other words, hold it loosely. Now we're backing up, and we're going to be as lamenting as not lamenting, and as those rejoicing as not rejoicing. If you're lamenting, be as though you're not lamenting. If you're rejoicing, be as though you're not rejoicing. And again, this is 1 Corinthians 7:29. Why would I do that? Why would I rejoice and pretend like I'm not rejoicing? Why would I lament and be as though not lamenting? Here's the point. Don't let your highs be ultra high, and don't let your lows be ultra low. It's like when you get on a sugar high, you're all excited and heavy, you can't stop talking. And then when you get low, you get down, you get so down, you can't even speak. Don't let that happen. We're supposed to be more in the middle ground. If you're rejoicing, don't get over rejoicing. In other words, if you get that new job or if you win the lottery, don't go crazy with it. Just say, oh, that's nice. Why? Because that money that you won in the lottery is not going to last long, because we're going to be snatched away in 5 minutes, according to my most recent calculations. And likewise, those who are lamenting, be as though not lamenting. In other words, when your friend dies, and I told you yesterday about my friend Charlie Kronk, who is going to die soon, barring the snatching away, this grieves me, I hate it, and yet I am going to lament, but as though not lamenting. In other words, my low is not going to be that low. Paul says, we do grieve, but not as those who have no hope, who have no expectation. So because of Christ, our highs aren't so high, because we realize that the joys and the thrills of this life are passing away, and our lows aren't so low, because we realize that the lows of this world are passing away. So this is a two-sided coin. As soon as you get upset that, oh, all the good things that are happening to me are not going to last, you have to think of it this way: all the bad things happening to you are not going to last either. That's why Paul wants us to have a more measured walk, a more sane walk. So don't go crazy like those people on The Price is Right. I couldn't believe how excited people would get to win a washing machine. These women especially would jump up and down and scream, and they won a washing machine. They must have gauged these people ahead of time as they were lining up to go into the show to see which people would be more likely to lose their minds, and they picked those people to call down to the front, you know, come on down. And they would jump up and down like kangaroos and wallabies and all kinds of creatures from the great continent of Australia, and I would just be so stunned that you could get that excited over a washing machine. So don't be like that. And likewise, when your friends die, of course you're going to cry, because death is oblivion. But there's a resurrection, so just you don't cry and you don't mourn for a year, because you understand the truth. That's what Paul is saying here. And now we get to the point that I'm going to have to say for tomorrow, because it's so epic, that those having wives may be as not having them. I think this applies to husbands too. Those of you wives having husbands, be as though not having them. What does this mean? This sounds dangerous. Is this dangerous? No, but this is the road to peace. It's the road to contentment. It's the road to a measured life. And it's the road to anticipating the next eon and realizing that this eon is slated for destruction. It's on the books. It's going down. And we're not going down with it, because even as the Titanic sinks, you and I are heading for the lifeboats.